Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And you're joining us for day two of our lesson about how scientists hope to protect seals by understanding their sound. Of course, seals are not the only animals that have unique sounds. Actually, Nathaniel, Carolyn, and I are each thinking of a different kind of animal, and we're going to make their animal calls or their sounds right now, okay? Mm-hmm. So, here we go. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Three, two, one. Yes, Carolyn?
What?
What was that? Was that a rooster?
Oh, that's a pretty good guess. I was going to say,
excellent.
Sounds like a rooster, right?
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like a rooster. Good job. Well, Nathaniel, what is your animal sound?
Well, I'll let them guess, but mine sounds like this.
Jacob.
Oh.
Jacob from Twilight. A wolf.
Okay. Yes, a wolf.
And Gabe, your sound would be?
Well, mine is a moose call. Here we go. Hear moose. They love it. They get it every time. They always come whenever I say hear moose. Right now, it's time for us to get started with our first reading of the day. Here we go.
Scientists hope to protect seals by understanding their sound. Once hunted to near extinction, the northern elephant seals have rebounded. Now, scientists are concerned about the potential human impact on the growing population. And they hope that understanding the seals' communication and organization will help protect the bulbous-nosed cutie pies. The more we can learn, the more we can predict how they'll respond to these types of encroachments and better protect them, said Carolyn Casey, the project's field research coordinator.
Hello, listeners. This is your word, Lady Ellen. It's the second day of our Nature article about how scientists are trying to save seals. Here is your vocabulary. Rebound. Rebound is a verb. Our team was losing the game, but eventually they rebounded and won. Encroachment. Encroachment is a noun. Allison is protesting the city's encroachment on the forest near her home. Rumbling. Rumbling is a noun. Before it started raining, we could hear the rumbling of thunder in the distance. Cavity. Cavity is a noun. The doctor looked in the cavities of my nose and ears and said nothing was wrong. Our more information words are bulbous-nosed. Bulbous-nosed is an adjective. Jackhammer. Jackhammer is a noun. Now, let's get started with the article.
Well, we find out something scary about elephant seals here at first, but things did improve. Once hunted to near extinction, the northern elephant seals have rebounded. Near extincted means that at one time there were almost no elephant seals left, but now they have rebounded. And rebounded is a key word for today, so we want to look at this. Gabe, what does rebounded mean in this case?
Well, if something rebounds, it's like it recovers from something bad. So, of course, they were near extinction, almost none left, but now there are lots more. Their species has rebounded. They have recovered from that. So you can use this word in other ways, though, Carolyn. How would you use that word?
Well, you can use it to mean recover. And when I think of recover, I think of an illness. So you can rebound from an illness if you've been in the hospital for a while and then you get better. You have rebounded.
I also think of last month's article about the American bald eagle. At one time, they were near extinct in America as well, but it seems like they have also rebounded.
Those are great examples. Now let's continue in the article. Now, scientists are concerned about the potential human impact on the growing population. What does that mean, human impact on the growing population?
Well, if the human impact just means that the impact that humans are having and on the environment that the seals live in. So humans have some sort of impact, or they affect how the seals live.
That's right. They have an influence, and often a negative influence. I think sometimes we forget the impact that we have on the environment. Maybe one person doing something careless isn't so bad, but so many people can have a big human impact on things like elephant seals and other things in the environment.
Okay, finishing out the sentence, it says, and they hope that understanding the seals' communication and organization will help protect the bulbous-nosed cutie pies. Interesting words there at the end. Bulbous-nosed, that's a more information word today. If something is bulbous, it is shaped like a bulb or a ball. What type of thing could be bulbous, do you think, Gabe?
What kind of thing could be bulbous? Well, I think of a light bulb. I think maybe this word comes from that word bulb. And, of course, a light bulb is kind of shaped like that. If you see a light bulb that you can use in your house, it is shaped like this. Maybe this elephant seal also has a nose that looks kind of like that. But what else could be bulbous shaped, Carolyn?
Well, I really like to work in the garden and plant flowers, and there are many types of flowers that have bulbs instead of seeds. So instead of planting a seed in the ground, you have a large bulb, something that's very round and probably already has some leaves on it to plant into the ground.
Okay. Now you have an idea of what bulbous might look like if it's used to describe something. And then you see this word cutie pies. It sounds strange and looks strange, but really it's a name that we say for someone that is cute. If you meet someone's child for the first time, you might say, oh, they're a cutie pie. There are a lot of other names like this that Steve and Ken, I think, are going to discuss in the information cloud.
How you address a person says a lot about how well you know that person.
Okay, let's begin with talking to strangers, especially if they're older strangers. You'll address them in a formal way, which might include a title like Mr. for a man or ma'am for a woman.
As your relationship with a person develops, you might learn he or she has a nickname. Sometimes the nickname comes from the shortened form of the person's proper name. For example, a man named Robert might choose to be called by the more informal name Bobby by his friends and family.
Sometimes a nickname comes from a person's character or habit. For example, a man who is left-handed might have the nickname Lefty.
Okay, the next level in names is the pet name. Pet names are intimate, affectionate names you call someone you have a very close relationship with.
Lots of people use pet names, though couples are probably the people who use them the most.
The most common pet names in English are darling, sweetheart, and sugar. People get creative, though, and invent new ones all the time, like cutie pie, Shoogie Woogie, and Mookie Pookie Bear.
Yes, you can be creative and make your loved ones happy. 在英文我们对不同的人会用到不同的称呼。对不认识的陌生人可以用 Mr. 先生或 Ma'am 女士。对比较熟的朋友我们常常会用到 nickname 小名。像一个叫做 Robert 的男生他的亲朋好友也许会称他为 Rob 或 Bobby。对更亲密的人我们常会用到 pet name, 就是昵称。像夫妻常常称对方为 darling, 亲爱的 sweetheart, 甜心或 honey, 蜜糖。今天课文呢就用了 cutie pie 这个昵称来形容北方象鼻海豹。这就是今天的 InfoCloud, 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, Mr. Steve and Mr. Ken. Well, we continue. The more we can learn, the more we can predict how they'll respond to these types of encroachments and better protect them. I like this sentence. We have a couple of things to learn here. The more we can learn, the more we can predict. We want to talk about these extra words. The more something, the more something else. This is a great sentence pattern you can use. How might you use this, Carolyn?
Well, the more time we spend at the zoo, the more animals we can see.
Excellent. Nathaniel?
Well, the more I study it, the more interesting it becomes to me.
Excellent. And the more, let's see, the more seals fight, the more irritated they become. You can see there are many different ways to use this phrase. Try it in English today. We also have a word bank word there, so let's talk about that. It is an encroachment. An encroachment is when someone comes up onto your territory or tries in some way to show that they are in charge. You were in charge at first, and then they are slowly becoming in charge. They are encroaching. It's an encroachment. Carolyn, how would you use that word?
Well, the sea levels are starting to encroach on the beaches.
I like that.
So the sea levels are rising and the beaches are becoming smaller. They are being encroached upon.
All right. Nathaniel, what does this word make you think of?
Well, I was thinking with this article that you could say the scientists should be careful of encroaching on the seals' territory. And if you notice, both Carolyn and I said on after encroaching. Encroaching on or encroach on. It's important to use that phrase that way.
All right, so encroaching on someone's territory. And of course, earlier we talked about the human impact on these seals. Humans are encroaching upon these seals' territory. And Nathaniel said something very important. Even these scientists want to be careful about encroaching upon these seals. Well, it's time for us right now to continue. Who said this? Caroline Casey, the project's field research coordinator. And now it's time for us to learn something new with Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 首先我们看的是 rebound 这个动词。R-E 这个字首有再一次的意思。所以 rebound 是指回升或者是重新振作。例如 the stock market rebounded yesterday after a week's poor performance. 经过一周表现普普之后股市在昨天反弹。Rebound 也可以当名词意思是指反弹或者是篮板球。注意这时候重音要放在第一个音节念成 rebound。接下来我们看的是 encroachment 这个名词。Encroachment 是指侵入或侵占。例如 the range of rainforests is gradually shrinking because of the encroachment of land development. 由于土地发展的入侵，雨林的范围正渐渐的缩小。它的动词是去掉字尾的 ment 变成 encroach。例如 our neighbor's shed encroached on our land. 我们邻居的小木屋侵占到我们的土地。
Well, we are talking about these bulbous-nosed cutie pies, the elephant seals. And we know that so far, they used to be close to extinction, but now they have rebounded. But scientists are still trying to figure out how we can know that we don't have a human impact, a bad human impact on these elephant seals. They're trying to figure out how we can stop encroaching on their territory. Well, we have a lot more to learn in the next part of our reading for today.
Scientists hope to protect seals by understanding their sound. And as winter ends, it might seem quiet during a visit to Año Nuevo because most of the seals have left this favorite breeding ground. Make no mistake, though, they are among the loudest animals on land. Their calls can be as loud as a jackhammer, with frequencies low enough to vibrate the sand around them. To understand what all the fuss is about, Southall has been recording their rumblings from 3 feet away. It's
kind of crazy to think you're so close to 4,000-pound males while they're trying to fight, he said. You can feel it resonating in your chest and sinus cavities. The team found that each male has a unique call.
Well, it sounds like they can be quite loud, but if we see the first sentence of this section, it says, "And as winter ends, it might seem quiet during a visit to Año Nuevo because most of the seals have left this favored breeding ground." So there aren't very many seals there, even though this is one of their favorite places to go, because it's winter and they go somewhere else. Now, Nathaniel, how does the next sentence begin?
Make no mistake, though, they are among the loudest animals on land. Wow, loudest animals on land. Make no mistake, though, this is a very interesting phrase. Make no mistake. You might often say it at the beginning of a sentence, and we do want to look at it today. How would you use that phrase, Gabe?
Well, if you have to leave, but you want to let people know you might come back, you could say, "Make no mistake, I'll be coming back, so you all better behave. Make no mistake, I'll be back." What about you, Carolyn?
Well, you could say, "Make no mistake, English is not an easy language to learn, but if you practice, it is possible."
And make no mistake, elephant seals may look cute, but they could be quite dangerous. All right. Moving on in the article, it says next, their calls can be as loud as a jackhammer, with frequencies low enough to vibrate the sand around them. Wow, I would like to see that. But a jackhammer, I think most of us have probably seen a jackhammer. What do they use them for, Carolyn?
Well, jackhammers are usually used for road construction, and I frequently hear jackhammers all the time, actually, because there's always construction near my apartment, and they're always doing road work with their jackhammers.
Oh, man, I hate jackhammers. Yeah, they're very loud. If you're working with a jackhammer, of course, you need to protect your ears. You need to put earplugs in your ears, as the other construction workers around you should as well. So a jackhammer is a very loud thing, and I guess elephant seals can sound as loud as jackhammers.
Yes, and that is very, very loud. You can even feel the sound, apparently. Next, the article says, to understand what all the fuss is about, Southall has been recording their rumblings from 3 feet away. Okay, had an interesting phrase at the beginning of this sentence, what the fuss is about. We want to look at that as an extra phrase today. What's all the fuss about? How could you use this, Carolyn?
Well, if you're a little bit confused about why people are so excited about something, you might say, what's all the fuss about?
Or you could say, what's all the fuss about? Why are you guys fighting? What's all the fuss about?
That's right. Or, what's the fuss about Twilight? It doesn't seem that great to me.
Oh, man.
Or there's a big crowd outside your office, and you don't know why, and you say, what is all the fuss about out there? It's a very useful phrase. But this sentence also has another word that we need to look at today, rumblings. Rumblings is a key word today, word bank word, rumblings, and it refers to a kind of sound or noise. How would you use this word, Gabe?
Well, this word kind of looks like it could be a verb, but it's actually a noun, a rumbling. So this kind of reminds me of the word grumbling, actually, because it's that kind of noise that a jackhammer might make, a rumble. But I also think about earthquakes, because when there's an earthquake, you might also sense or feel or hear some rumbling from the earth. But how do you use that word, Carolyn?
Well, when I think of rumbling, I think of something that is shaking. Mm-hmm. So the ground could be rumbling during an earthquake, but it could also be a loud sound, like thunder makes a very loud rumbling sound during a storm.
Mm. Sometimes I think we also use this word in a different way. You might say something like, I hear rumblings of a new project that we're starting. You're not actually hearing a sound, but maybe you're hearing people talk a little bit about something new that's happening, and you might say, I hear rumblings of something like that. Okay, continuing in the article, it says, it's kind of crazy to think you're so close to 4,000-pound males while trying to fight, he said. How would you feel being that close to 4,000-pound elephant seals, Gabe?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be really cool to be that close to these huge animals, but I know as well it would be really dangerous, or it would seem dangerous. I know they're not fighting me, but it still seems like it might be kind of scary.
Okay, he actually gives us a little bit of an idea of what this would feel like. What does he say next, Carolyn?
He says, you can feel it resonating in your chest and sinus cavities. And if something is resonating, it's kind of vibrating. It's inside you here in your chest and sinus cavities. And cavity is another key word from the word bank that we need to talk about. What is a cavity, Gabe?
Well, a cavity is a kind of hole, and usually you use this word to talk about when you go to the dentist and he tells you you have a cavity. If you hear it just like that, then you know it's talking about inside your tooth. That's not a good thing. You need to get your cavity filled. But how else can you use that word, Nathaniel?
Well, in this case, it's talking about open areas inside your body. You have your sinus cavities up here around your nose inside your head. But it's a kind of open area or hole, like a hole in your tooth is a cavity, as Gabe said. Now, I think it is time to go see a review skit, and we hope that you enjoy it.
What are you doing here on these windy dunes?
I'm learning the snorty language of northern elephant seals.
You're learning the language of the seals?
That's right. I'm collecting grumbly grunts and growls.
Why are you studying elephant seal communication?
These fascinating animals use sounds to show who's boss. Mm. When two males fight, it's bloody and violent.
Can understanding their language help prevent fights?
I hope so. I want to help protect these bulbous-nosed cutie pies.
Cutie pies?
Yes, they're adorable.
Whatever. Oh, ah, the earth is moving. What is that?
Shh, it's the call of the elephant seal. It makes the sand vibrate.
I could feel it resonating in my chest and sinus cavities.
Yes, it's a unique sound, isn't it?
Yes, like a loud jackhammer.
They are the loudest animals on land, and elephant seals weigh 4,000 pounds. So what do you think?
I think it's kind of crazy that you would get so close, especially when they're ready to fight.
I think it's exciting. I love these elephant seals. They're such cutie pies. Come on, let's listen.
No, let's get out of here.
I love those review skits. Well, in the last sentence of our article today, we see the team found that each male has a unique call. And now let's go visit Michelle in the language lab.
Alright, 接着我们来看的是 rumbling 这个名词, 它原本是 rumble, R-U-M-B-L-E, 隆隆作响这个字的现代分词, 在这里是当名词, 意思是指轰隆声或噜噜声。 例如, after living here for a while, I got used to the rumblings of the trains passing by. 我在这里住一阵子之后, 习惯了经过的火车发出的隆隆声。 或者是 the rumbling of the thunder frightened the baby, 小宝宝被打雷的隆隆声给吓到了。 所以我们看的是 cavity 这个名词 cavity 在这里是指腔 所以课文提到的 sinus cavity 是指鼻腔 或者是 the doctor looked at the patient's x-ray to make sure his chest cavity was clear 医生检视病人的 X光片 确认他的胸腔是通畅的 cavity 也指蛀牙 例如 the cavity needs to be filled 这个蛀牙要补 and let's get back to our teachers.
We've been learning a lot about elephant seals and maybe how we can protect them. Well, I do wonder, when have you felt sound? We talk about feeling sound because you're so close to one of these elephant seals fighting. But when have you ever felt sound? Nathaniel?
Well, my grandparents go to a big church, and my grandfather always says after church that I think something is wrong when I can feel my inside shaking when I listen to the music at church.
That's pretty funny. That's a great observation about some music at churches. Well, Carolyn, when have you felt sound?
Well, I have felt it when music was too loud, but I've also felt it at a sporting event. I went to a football game with thousands of people, and everyone was cheering and stomping their feet, and you could feel the energy, and it was very, very exciting.
Sometimes it can be exciting to feel that kind of energy. I also think of concerts. If the speakers are blaring very loud, you can especially hear the bass, and you can feel that sound. Well, right now it's time for us to say goodbye, but we'll see you next time right here on Studio Classroom. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Each boy said to himself,
"That's the old Spaniard that people have seen in the village a few times.
The deaf and dumb Spaniard, as people call him, because he can't hear or speak.
I never saw the other man before."
The other man was dirty and very poor looking. The Spaniard was wearing a big Mexican hat and had a lot of white hair and a thick white beard under it. His eyes were hidden by green glasses. When they came in, the other man was talking in a low voice. The two men sat down on the floor facing the door with their backs to the wall, and the speaker went on.
"No,"
he said,
"I don't like it. It's dangerous."
"Dangerous?"
The voice of the deaf and dumb man, who couldn't hear or speak, sounded angry. It filled the boys with fear. It was the voice of Injun Joe.
"Why can't you be a little less afraid? It's not more dangerous than the job we did together up the river.